interesting thing, and we might learn some new things as we go through here. You've heard all this before, but this is a complete review of it very quickly. And then I'm going to answer this question about how complete will the destruction of the Roman church city that has existed since its first local church initiated what became the heretical universal church by corrupting the faith once delivered to the saints by the Lord's word in Jude. I had never really noticed how complete the actual destruction was. They won't see it anymore. None of it. They won't see any of it. And so when I went through here, I went to Jude 3. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What irritates God more than anything else? Spiritual adultery. And when you go to another church and observe the Lord's Supper with them that's not one of the Lord's churches, that's spiritual adultery. And it's that way. And so there's nothing, it's just, now if somebody doesn't belong to this church and they go and observe the Lord's Supper somewhere else, that's not spiritual adultery. That's between them and the Lord. But this church teaches the truth about it, even though it sometimes is very disappointing to what we have to look forward to. And yet I find it very stimulating. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. If you don't, that's spiritual adultery. And it's spiritual adultery, plain and outspoken. He says, Revelation 18:1-24. Now, you've heard all this before. I've preached it several times during the 40-some-odd years I've been here. And after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mildly with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. That is spiritual Rome. Now, the devil's seat is over in Iraq. I know that. But this is spiritual Rome. It's spiritual Babylon. And that's where the city of Rome is located. And God is not going to let them get away with what they've been doing and are doing now ever since the time when Sylvester split with the church there and went south and formed a new church in North Africa. Babylon the Great is fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of unclean and hateful birds. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. There are people in that church that are legitimately saved. They are his people. They are his children. They are his brethren, but they are not members of New Testament churches. And yet they accepted Christ as their Savior. They believe Jesus is their Savior. And the Lord has saved them. I'm not going around and conduct a survey to see which is which, but there are some in there. His people are in there. We're not the only people he has, but we're the only local churches he has. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It would be better for them to come out and worship God at home than it would be to go down there to that masquerade, that Halloween party that they have down there that they call Mass. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. I mean, this is going to be something that is really big time, bad. And God's going to, they'll never see Rome again. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, how much torment and sorrow give her, for that she saith in her heart, I said a queen and am no widow. Yet she's a whore, she's a prostitute. She's a disobedient, she's ungodly. But believe it or not, there are some people in her that know Christ as their Savior, but they follow the Pope and he leads them willingly. And he himself has no idea what he's doing. Or if he does, I really feel super sorry for him. And shall see no sorrow. They say that before God. And shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. This is going to happen in one day. Now listen, it's going to be bad when all this stuff starts. It's already started over there, and they're already persecuting Roman Catholics and everybody else and the brother over there. They count them all as Christians. They don't, even though some of them even aren't even Christians. But all this is going to happen in one day. This is not a prolonged thing. Will there be a prolonged thing? Absolutely. But this is the final destruction, and this is something so horrible, I can't even imagine it. But I guarantee you, they'll never see Rome again. Death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. Yeah. She's going to have death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly, completely burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And he's the one that's going to dish this out to Rome. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, for they shall see the smoke of her burning. They will see Rome burn. There'll be ships offshore. Nobody would dare to go there with what the smoke that they see coming up from that place. But there's a lot more than that to it. And even they won't ever see her again. You say, well, what about the pillars? What about the roof? What about the foundation? They'll never see it again. They will never see it again. And see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment. And alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, he comes back with that, 1 hour, is thy judgment come. Man, when they pour out that last vial, she's gone. They'll never see her again. Never. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. They live off selling relics. They live off all their fancy stuff. Go somewhere to a Catholic church. Go somewhere to a Catholic bazaar. Go somewhere to a Catholic shop. They'll sell you everything they can possibly sell you. They may even tell you it's a splinter from the ark. But no, they make money. They make money, 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 money. They're very rich. No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And they buy it from people that sell it to them cheap enough that they can make a big profit off of it. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of precious wood and of brass and of and iron and marble. If you ever run, going down the street and you see one of these Catholic stores, shops, go in there and look what they've got for sale. If you should ever be happened fortunate enough to go to Rome, go over there and see what they've got for sale out on the streets of Rome. Just go and look at that mess. It's pathetic. It's ungodly. They're selling idols to a false god. They don't care. They're so possessed, most of them are so possessed, they don't have any reverential respect for God at all. They've turned it into a physical thing of the flesh. And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments. I've seen what they've got in their shops. They've got all this stuff. And frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. That's the Catholic Church. That is pure, spiritual, absolute adultery. Spiritual adultery toward Almighty God. And they're not going to get away with this. Because when this happens, that's 1 hour, she'll never be seen again, I promise you. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All the things they lusted over were dainty and goodly, they are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. They won't be around. There won't be anything left of anything that they can see that even resembles the Roman Vatican as we know it now, and also the city of Rome. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off in the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, which was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, Alas, alas, that great city. I'm repeating this. Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of costliness. And in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more in thee, at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall not shine at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I would say that's a pretty good description of they'll never see Rome again. They'll never see the Vatican again. What time is it, Anna Mae? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and try to finish this next one, so I won't have to do it and break up a session. So I may go a little bit over. Okay, now we need to pass out number two. Kidda. Number two. I'm going to show you why she'll never be found again. Why they'll never see her again. And I know it's a fact. No foundation, no nothing.
Number three?
Yeah, it's one and number, let's see, one and two. Look over there and see if that's...
We did one and two.
Well, wait a minute, here it is.
Okay.
This is, well, no, a new flow. Well, I tell you, I've been there, and I've gone into, and we used to clear flights down to Aviano in Italy all the time, and you could get on one of those flights, and when they'd bring people back from down there after they took some down there, and I've seen all this stuff, and I've seen how the Catholic Church operates, and it is ungodly. Now, you can't look at spiritual adultery like you use it as adultery. Now, if I committed adultery on Imogene, that's super bad and wrong, and it's a deep sin. But it's not like spiritual adultery against God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you don't worship Him in spirit and in truth, like He said, you're being adulterous. It would be better for you all just to stay home and never come to church than to join a Catholic church or to join another church that isn't scriptural. It would be spiritual adultery. And so that's I feel very strongly about this, and I'm sure Brother Moody did too. Now let's go up here, and I'll show you why it has to be true. Why you won't see anything, any of it, anymore, foundation, pillars, everything. When John wrote the book of Revelation, he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos 5 years before the first century ended. He had apparently been exiled for his testimony of the Word in Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:9, John, who also are your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. When you talk about spirituality, when you talk about being faithful, Jesus said, follow me. Well, he knew you couldn't follow him as he did because you've got a sinful nature. But he didn't say that you couldn't make mistakes and that he would fail to forgive you if you did. He didn't say that at all. Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Some people come to church. They start learning about Jesus. They start learning about the yoke. They start learning about everything that we teach in this church. And when they start to learn that, it scares them. It doesn't scare you anymore, but it scares them. And they cannot take any adversity in the church. They don't understand why they have trouble in the church. It's very simple. Because after you're saved and you start practicing what God said to practice during the two ordinances, and you start growing in love, who do you think the devil is going to try to get into? He doesn't care all that much about those churches that they have people in them that believe they're saved. The devil doesn't care much about them. He just doesn't want them to ever learn the truth. But he wants to get into churches that know the truth. And if you're going to be rewarded and get part of the inheritance, you're going to have to toughen up. You're going to have to toughen up. Now, we're in the last days, and I'm not going to play footsies anymore. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. I have known this for a long time, but the Lord just kind of said, wait. And I've waited, and I believe I'm supposed to be doing this. The church had undergone several year times of tribulation under different emperors since the cross. And at that time, the Roman Empire donated the known world. And the only city that would have satisfied Revelation 17:8 was Rome, the great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. Revelation 17:18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It's Rome. It has to be Rome. You say, well, the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What earth is he talking about? He's talking about the Roman Empire. That's exactly what he's talking about. The persecution of the Roman Catholic Church against the churches that have continued to teach the faith once delivered to the saints is well documented in history. Just read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It'll make you sick, and you'll probably quit. Most people do. Her hands are covered with the blood of true believers of all ages following her unification with the Roman Empire in 313 A.D. under Constantine. That's when it began. The Catholic Church is the spiritual whore of Babylon. No doubt in my mind about it. But the Pope is not the Antichrist. He's not. But right now, the Catholic Church is trying to find a way where she won't have all this trouble. And if anybody's going to have it, it'll be somebody else. Now, the Pope can talk a great game, but you're not going to get those Catholics to do very much. I can just tell you that right now. Probably even the ones that are saved. Unless they suddenly start looking for the truth after all this mess starts. She has been responsible for the abominable heresies that have led millions to hell and has covered up her spiritually dead inner soul with displays of outwardly beautiful pomp and ceremony. The doctrines of the Catholic Church concerning salvation, secure the believer, baptism, communion, and universal church are ungodly heresy. They are ungodly heresy. Now you say, well, the Southern Baptists, they don't practice. They believe that there's a universal church and that there's a local church. No, there's only one church. It's a local church. And out of each one of those local churches, the Lord will pick the faithful. And those are the ones that are going to live inside the city. And the others that weren't faithful or weren't saved, they're going to live outside the city. And those who didn't believe and just acted like they believed and put on a show that whenever we're saved, they're going to go to hell. Now, it is currently leading more than a million professors of faith in Christ completely astray from the faith once delivered to the saints. You know what when I preached this first in the last century? It was the last century I preached it. And then this one here, I took off my internet, and it's from 2002. So this isn't some new doctrine I've come up with. I've taught you all this before, but I haven't changed anything. But now I can better explain to you why I said what I did, because I didn't want to teach you too much stuff that was so out that you'd never heard before that I thought they won't believe anything else I say. You say, where'd you get that? Well, I like to think it was God advised me to do that. It wasn't that I thought I was smarter than you were. It was that I was better trained than you were. And I had some wonderful teachers that taught me a lot of stuff that you'd never been taught here. And so that's why we have the school. That's why I'm doing this. And see, I sit here and learn something from Robert. You don't have to go to seminary to be a good teacher. All you have to do is study. And all you have to do is want to know the truth. And I've noticed you from the very beginning, you want to know what the truth is. And you challenge it if you think it's wrong. I don't mind that. I just don't like to be called a... Well, never mind. When God's wrath is poured out on her followers, we'll feel it to the fullest, for the Vatican is spiritual Babylon. Revelation 16, 16 through 19. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured his vial out in the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and noises and thunders, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, and so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. There's going to be a great burning. When's that going to start to occur? When the tectonic plates begin to move. Right now we're in the beginning of, we're in the fifth seal. Right now we're actually seeing bloodshed all over the old country. We're seeing it poured out. We're seeing persecutions of many people called Christians that aren't even Christians, that aren't even disciples. They're not even members of God's churches. But we've got some of our churches over there, and we need to pray for them, and we need to help them if they need help. And so you all be thinking about that, because I agree. Kenneth thinks we ought to support some more, and I agree, but whatever you all think is great with me. And upon her forehead was a name written, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Okay, that's Revelation 17, 5. Now, Revelation 18, 20. And 21. Rejoice over her, thy heaven, and ye holy prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. This is payback. This is what Kenneth calls payback. Well, God believes in payback too. But he's got a lot more patience than Kenneth and I have. We'd like to go there like Donald Trump and wipe the whole bunch out at one time. For God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Isn't that interesting? No more at all. Nothing. Then said any of the disciples, is it impossible that the offenses will come, and woe unto him though, through whom they come? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. How many perverts are there in the Catholic Church? I don't think they any more know the Lord than Moody's goose. It's possible, but I don't think so. Notice what it says next. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We don't look at ourselves as being fully mature. We've turned into little children, haven't we? We've just got to where we trust God to get us out of everything that we get ourselves into. And we've learned like little children. We're just like little children to him. He's like our father. And he is our father, and we are his little children. And if we want to enter the kingdom of God, we've got to become like little children. We can't have high and haughty attitudes. God knows it's taken me a long time to learn that. I used to have a superiority complex when I was in service because they complimented constantly and told me how intelligent I was. Everybody, officers, the whole bunch. And I got a superiority complex. Man, when I came and God called me, you know, it didn't take him long to start breaking me down. It's taken him a long time to break me down, but he has. I'm just a little helpless child that doesn't know his right hand from his left. And so every time I get in trouble, I run to God like a little frightened, helpless child, and that is exactly what he wants, because he has to be the one who delivers me. I can't deliver myself. Revelation 17, 1, 6. And there came out of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Well, she does set on many waters, doesn't she? Matter of fact, she's all over the earth. She's on every island. She's in every country. She's everywhere. It's like that fellow that used to say, about Santa Claus.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
Well, Jesus is everywhere. He's the Holy Spirit. He is everywhere. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Well, that's interesting. Rejoice over her, and ye holy angels and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. They're right about global warming, but it's not going to be like they think. Have you ever thought about when all those tectonic plates lift up? Listen, when they come up, those on the West Coast, all those volcanoes are gone. That's going to come in, tsunami waves, and it's going to put them out. The whole West Coast is going to collapse. The whole Pacific Ocean is going to be lifted up by God. All of it. Look at the way it's cut out around there. What's that going to do to the water temperature? Whoop! And what are the seas going to do? Rise! They're going to go straight up in the air. And where, how high is the sea level going to be then? A huge tsunami will roar up the Tiber River. It's a little ways into the Rome, but believe me, the Tiber River is about 15 miles from it. But it's going to rise up, go up through there, and completely submerge Rome. Absolutely. You say, can you give us an example of that? Well, how about the great volcano that erupted down at what I call Sodom and Gomorrah, down south of Rome? Yeah. You know where all that stuff came out and covered up the statues and everything? Do you know there was a city of Rome before that? And do you know where it was? Underwater. And do you know where the next one's going to be? Underwater. It says, and shall be found no more at all. You say, well, nobody could do that except God. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Now, I tell you what I have learned to do. I believe whatever God says. And I don't think you have to justify it. But I think that's why he raised me up. Had me go through all those schools. And my backside got sore from sitting on those benches. And now, I can tell you that when he said that it was going to be found no more at all, that's what's going to happen. And everything that God made, he made in advance. I'd say that there's only one God. And he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He fulfills three offices. And he's the only one can do something like that. So I don't put down the word of God at all. I believe it. You say, what happens if you can't justify it? I believe it anyway. It's that plain and that simple. But I love to find out. And I think God wanted you to find out. I don't think it was something that we were supposed to keep hidden under a bucket. Well, what time is it, Anna Mae?